more now on the report, which has revealed nearly 2,500 allegations of abuse against nearly 1,000 people in 308 religious-run schools across the country over a 30-year period. The government has said it will set up a statutory commission of inquiry to investigate further. There have been calls for such an inquiry to be extended to all schools. Well, we're joined this morning by the Special Rapporteur on Child Protection, Ciarán Gallagher. Ciarán Gallagher, you're very welcome to the programme. Your thoughts, first of all, on the Scoping Inquiries report and what details and revelations it has produced.
Well, the Scoping Inquiry report is obviously shocking and really harrowing reading, but in many ways it's not a surprise. You know, if we look back at what was uncovered in 2005 in the Ferns report, in 2009 in the Commission to Inquire into Child Abuse, in the Murphy report in 2009, the Cloyne report in 2011, and what's come out in recent years about Magdalen laundries and mother and baby homes, in some ways this is not a surprise, and it was there in plain sight. I pay tribute to the work done in the preliminary scoping inquiry, and I pay particular tribute to the victims and survivors who came forward and uncovered their own pain and distress over many decades. So I welcome all of that. My key focus at the moment is I think we are now in a position where the formal inquiry needs to take place, and I support the calls for it to be focused not only on religious-run schools, but to have a broader scope. And we shouldn't be in a position, again, of victims from non-religious-run schools having to fight to secure a kind of inquiry. We should ensure that the scope now is broader and encompasses victims and survivors outside just the victims and survivors who are uncovered in the preliminary scoping inquiry. And I should say that that's also in keeping with the UN Committee on the Rights of the Child's recommendations from January 2023, when they highlighted as an urgent obligation under international law in Ireland the need to ensure that past victims of sexual abuse secure justice and effective remedies. And they highlighted in particular the importance of addressing the situation of persons whose complaints have not yet received adequate attention. So I think time is right for scope to be broader and to ensure this happens as quickly as possible.
It could take many years, though, depending on the scope of the inquiry. It's a huge task. Should they try and take testimony from every survivor at every school or take a sample of allegations? How would you advise it?
Yeah, I think there's obviously much detail to be worked out, but I think we can look at what's happened in other jurisdictions, which gives us good examples. So for example, in the Independent Inquiry into Child Sexual Abuse in England and Wales, or the commission which took place in Canada, in both of those environments, what they did was they looked at a number of indicative examples with a deeper dive into some indicative examples in particular institutions and particular schools. And that can work quite well as a model. I think the urgency here in part comes from the fact that there's been delay and foot dragging over many decades, and a denial of the experiences which are now laid bare in the superb preliminary scoping inquiry that's just been published. But we also have had decades of institutional defensiveness and reputation management, particularly by Catholic Church-run institutions, which means that these problems have been hidden, not dealt with adequately. I think we've started to overturn the rock and look at what's underneath, and now it's imperative that we get on with it. One of the statistics which is very shocking is that over half of the 884 people accused of historical sexual abuse are now deceased. And of course, many of the victims and survivors are in their later years too. And there's a real urgency to getting on with it and having no further delay.
Survivors have called for redress to be made early in the process rather than waiting till the end. I'd like your view on that, but if you could also just start by just explain what redress is.
Of course. Well, redress can take many forms. It can include financial compensation, but also a range of other ways of addressing the injustice that people have endured over the years. Now, I haven't talked yet to the government about the detail of the redress scheme, of course, so I can't give you any fixed, definite views on the precise nuts and bolts of it. But I agree with the recommendation in the scoping report that a redress scheme should be set up as soon as possible, and that religious orders should contribute to it. I agree with that. And I also do agree with the idea of this being done sooner rather than later. I mean, otherwise, we may be in a position where by the time the inquiry process is completed, it's simply going to be too late for some of those who've endured such horrendous experiences over many decades. And if you look at the report, you'll see some of it has resulted in, you know, people whose entire lives were ruined, you know, so they're impacted their academic achievement in childhood, it impacted their mental health. Some of them have experienced homelessness. Some of them have, for example, chosen not to have children themselves, or it's impacted on their parenting of their children. I mean, the scars run very, very deep. And from decades of working with victims and survivors of child sexual abuse, I wasn't surprised to see the findings in the report yesterday. And seems to me the sooner we can get on with it, the better. There's much to do. Look, within the last 24 hours, we saw the outcry about the Leinster House bike shelter and an immediate review being ordered. And it's high time that we took a similar attitude to these difficult parts of our history, and we get on with it as quickly as possible. That would be my core message.
You mentioned there the religious orders contributing to redress. Norma Foley, the Education Minister, said there is now a moral obligation on those orders to contribute to compensation. Is there anything more tangible, though, the morality that can entice and enforce the religious orders to contribute?
Well, I agree with the Education Minister on the moral obligation, obviously, is the first point. And then secondly, something that we've learned from inquiries in other jurisdictions for victims and survivors of child sexual abuse is that when individuals have had to go through the process of bringing civil claims and suing, that's often been re-traumatising, very lengthy. And what you often find is a mismatch between the words that are being used in public apologies and in inquiry processes and the very defensive approach that's then taken in the civil claims. And that's something, for example, that victims of abuse in the St. John Ambulance case have spoken about publicly. A number of them have spoken out about that, including Mick Finnegan. And we know from both experiences in other environments in Ireland and then from other jurisdictions that that tends to happen. So one of the key issues here is trying to get the religious orders to do the right thing rather than having to be forced to do it legally. And I hope, given the findings here and the findings from decades of other reports, which identify very similar themes, institutional defensiveness, endemic abuse, fear and neglect, and targeting of particularly vulnerable children, it does seem to me that they should do the right thing before they're forced to do so for legal reasons.
Thank you very much indeed. Ciarán Gallagher, the Special Rapporteur on Child Protection.